You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener. Well into the month of July. Summer's here. And so there's some things we should watch for. And it looks like monsoons, they are days, hours away. So it's going to start raining, as it always does. Now, it looks like for the next week, the mountains of Arizona, at least, I was looking at Prescott, but basically we're all the same. We are looking at about a 50, 60% chance of rain every day. What that really means, if you're new to Arizona, when it says 50%, that means 50% of us will get rain. We just don't know which 50%, and it can literally be your neighbor right across the street gets rain and you don't. That's just how it is. And so these clouds, these thunder cells just pour down rain and they move around. They migrate around. That's where I love the valley areas, Chino Valley, Paulden, Prescott Valley, Dewey. You folks, Kingman, all the valley areas, you'll see these cells hit the valleys, pour down rain. It's glorious. Swirl around almost just swirling around the valleys, bumping off the mountains, almost like pinballs. And that's the only place, the valleys, those are the only places I've actually witnessed three rainbows at the same time. It's unbelievable. Only in the mountains of Arizona, and truly only in the valley areas. You all have a glorious vista. I mean, I love Prescott, Highland Pines, the Iron Springs community, Groom Creek. I mean, the pine trees are beautiful, but that's more of a micro majesty. You can hear the wind blowing through the pine trees, and it's just wonderful, but you don't get these huge macro views, vistas, seen off 100 miles away up to the San Francisco peaks. That's macro majesty. I mean, that's just beautiful. And so the monsoons are when that shines, and it'll say it'll rain. But here's the beautiful part about your plants, your landscape. The pressure's off for all of us because the humidity will go up. Right now, we're at crusty level. If you went at 10%, I think my skin's going to dry up and flake off my whole body. The humidity will go up to 30, 40, 50%. I mean, it'll be nice. The plants will respond to that. That, and the most beneficial, it gets cloudy. And so the sun is not as intense. It might be just as hot, but it won't be as intense. The sun isn't baking down on your plants and causing them to evaporate or sweat bullets out their foliage. The pressure will be off. Yes, it will be sunny at some times of the day, but then as the clouds swirl around and come across, it takes the pressure off. And so your monsoon season is a second flush of growth. It is important right now. I cannot emphasize this enough. Fertilize your landscape now. This is your time. This is in the next, as the monsoons start, fertilize. And I'm not talking about some cheesy water-soluble food like a Miracle-Gro. I mean something meat and potatoes, something strong, something that will take your plants and they will flush. Those aspens that look scorched and burned within 2 weeks will be flushed. Brand new growth. Apples will finish up with these strong, beautiful, crisp apples. The grapes will go crazy. Your perennials, they flushed out, blossomed. If you fertilize, they'll set a whole other set of flowers again. If you pinch your annual flowers and fertilize them, they'll set a whole other set of flowers again. So this is almost like a rebirth for the highlands of Arizona. If you fertilize now throughout the high country, fertilize and use. I'm recommending all-purpose plant food, the 744 fertilizer that I put together here for the mountains. It's made for this season, this monsoon growing season, that gets the plants to respond. The cottonseed meal and the bird guano and the sulfur and the iron, it'll green things up. They won't have that pale yellow look. And you can have a whole nother set of flowers, of foliage, of leaves, of buds. Now, just by fertilizing as the monsoons begin, it's unique to the mountains of Arizona. It's unique to this southwestern monsoonal pattern as to fertilizing. Most other parts of the country, basically you fertilize in the spring, you go off to cooler country in the summer, and you think about gardening in the fall. Here, it's not that case. Here, the mountains, when the monsoons come, it's a whole nother planting season. It's a great time to be putting trees, your bigger shrubs, red-tipped photinia, silverberry, privets, your privacy screens, your junipers, arborvitae, cypress, cedar, all of those guys, the pines. They're going to love going in the ground now while the soil is warm, the humidity has increased, and you'll get a rain two or three times a year to help supplement, a month to help supplement that your irrigation from the drip irrigation. Now, drip irrigation, basically, what that is, truly, it's life support. I mean, don't pull the plug. The plants may look rough. They might be burned and scorched, but they're living. They're surviving. Just get them to live with the drip system till the monsoons come. And then now all of a sudden you have the drip system with the rain. Now they're working together in unison. And that's when you see this flush of growth that's so glorious, so unique. This is when your crepe myrtles will erupt with growth and blossom, and they'll continue blooming right through autumn. This is when your Rose of Sharon's, your Mashudos hibiscus, your roses had a whole nother set of flowers right now. Your tulip trees, all of those will set a whole nother set of flowers now, and that continues right through the end of autumn. I mean, through October into November. And so this stage, I'm getting excited, just giddy, thinking about the monsoons. I can't believe they're a week delayed. I thought they would be last week over the 4th of July weekends. I actually thought we'd be watching fireworks in the rain. But the monsoons kind of, they're unpredictable. You just don't know when they're going to be here. And so they'll hit this week. That's okay. We'll take them. And it will be rainy for the next couple of months. Through the end of September, sometime in September, they kind of peter out. It cools off. I mean, it's the rains are using the heat to draw to this convection. The heat is just pulling in, sucking up. The heat is rising up, pulling all this moisture into us. And so we will see this ever-increasing monsoonal pattern. It'll actually get better. The month of August is actually better than July. And so then it continues through September. So that's, if you're new to Arizona, that's kind of the pattern. Now, don't turn off the irrigation just because it rained. Take advantage of, hydrate your soil, get it soaked again, at least for the first month or so. Because when it rains, many times it rains so profusely, so quickly. So, I mean, an inch of rain in 15 minutes, poof, just like that, that most of it runs off down the washes, fills up the waterways. That's great, but it doesn't fill up doesn't rehydrate the spongy material of your soil because most of it's flowing downhill. You folks in Chino Valley see this oh so well. Paulden, you see this oh so well because you can just see that rain hit up valley, and an inch of rain, literally a sheet of rain, will be flowing through the valley. It's a sight to behold. As it flows through the Big Chino and then starts carrying down through the valley. But little of it gets soaked into the ground. It mainly flows across to the ground. Yes, it can pool. Yes, it can. But we need several of those events before you can start throttling back on that irrigation system. So don't be tempted, like in the South or the Northwest or the Midwest, don't be tempted where when it starts raining, I can stop watering. I would say keep the irrigation going. This is where your rain sensors at the beginning of the monsoon season don't really help you. They almost hinder. So for me, I like to see my irrigation going while the rains are coming. I know that's offensive to some of you folks that are trying to save every ounce of water possible, but I'm trying to save my plants and rehydrate them because I want glorious beauty to start taking off with new growth and new flowers, and to take advantage of all that new fertilizer I just put down at those first few rains. As we get close to August, yes, then I'll go back, and I've got rain sensors as well, or I'll hit the skip rain cycle, then I'll take advantage. I don't want to waste water any more than anyone else, but I want to keep my plants healthy and strong and looking good. And they look a little heat stressed right now. That's kind of your insider tip to this season of monsoons as we go into it. Be right back with Lisa Waterslane in the studio.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, also known as the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain landscapes.
Wondering why the grass is always greener on the other side? Well, it's probably because your neighbor used the all-purpose fertilizer from Waters Garden Center. Monsoon is right around the corner, and it's the perfect time to feed your plants. Waters all-purpose fertilizer is the only organic made especially for Arizona mountain soils. Don't buy a bunch of different fertilizer for your flowers, veggies, trees, or grass. This one does it all. The plants on your side will be happier, healthier, well, greener. Safe, natural, organic. Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
We believe retirement means more time to garden and plants make you happier at Waters Garden Center.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And back with Lisa Waters Lane, my better half, smarter half, brilliant half. Other half.
I never know what to say when you do that.
Thank you, honey.
Oh, thank you,
I'm so glad I'm married to you. You big, strong, beautiful man. I just wish you weren't losing
your hair. Wake up.
Okay. Enough with my dreams. On to yours. Where were we at?
I don't know.
We're doing questions, garden questions.
Yes.
So what have people been asking? What are you hearing from other people out in the garden? And so that's always helpful, I find. So what do we got? That's tomato and lawn problems.
Okay. We'll start with something else.
Okay.
We'll save those.
This time of year is nothing but tomatoes and lawns.
Our first question is from Jason. And actually, he has an ant issue in his vegetable garden.
Oh.
So he wants to know, he has large black ants in his veggie garden. How do you treat them, being that they're in vegetables?
Yeah, easy. That one's pretty easy. Now, if you know where the hill is, if you can find the mound, it's always easiest. Mm-hmm. And we can go purely organic on that one. They make something called diatomaceous earth. It's an all-organic. It's basically crushed crustaceans, fossilized crustaceans. The ants go across it, and it cuts their bodies, and they dehydrate and die. They also, it's a powder, so they drag it into the hill, and they'll trail it into the hill, and it knocks them out. It's not a good barrier, but it's a good bait to the mound with it, and they'll drag it in the mound. If you don't know where the hill is, those bigger ants are large enough, they'll carry back a bait. So you can sprinkle a bait around the gardens. Mm-hmm. They'll pick that bait up, haul it back to their nest, and feed it to the queen. Once that queen is dead, they basically stop laying eggs, and it's just attrition. They just, that hill will finally die.
She's dead. She's not going to be
like... No queen. The dead queen's dead. The hill just dies in a few days later.
Okay.
That's a good way. So you use your baits. And there's, I think, two, maybe three different models or different kinds of baits out there. Each one will work. There's one that works better called Come and Get It. Is the name. It's an all-natural red ant hill bait. That's those gigantic hills. They kill off the vegetation
everything
all the way around.
Yeah.
That one works great and safe for your horses, your dogs, your kids, the birds. It's safer. Called Come and Get It.
Okay.
The other two, and I forget the names on those. It might even be black ant bait or something. It's called ant bait. They're better for the black ants. They're basically coated. They've just got a basically a poison that goes after ants that they're attracted to, and they want to pick it up and take it home to their nest. So that's how you deal with those. Bait. Okay. Go with the bait.
All righty. I think we've covered ants.
Yeah.
Our next question. Well, okay, I lied. We're going to do a tomato.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it. It's a year. It's a season for it. Yeah, June and July.
Well, Mary wants to know, and I get this a lot. How often should she be watering her veggie garden? She has tomatoes and peppers and squash and cucumbers, you know, I get that question every day because people don't want to over, they don't want to under, but what's your opinion on how often people should be watering?
Well, I love giving my opinion.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you, honey, for asking. Let me just give you some advice here. okay, I'm a man. I shouldn't have done that. I'm an idiot. Anyway, it depends on the soil, the variety, how much sun. There's some variables. How much wind are you folks up on the ridge lines? You're going to water more because you're just exposed to the wind. In full sun, that's going to be, I would say a vegetable garden needs at least 6 hours of sun to produce the fruit that you want. So at least half day. I notice the morning suns are a little kinder.
Right.
Still hot, still bright, but it gets that at end of the day protection from the sun. The ones that are just out there exposed, like Skull Valley, we had a full sun, full exposure, full everything, and it produced like crazy.
Right.
Great garden. There's some variables. I can't be exact with you. I can get you pretty close. You're probably right now in the heat of June. You're going to water every day to every other day. That's my guess. Maybe every third day for big tomatoes that are grown up and they're helping protect each other. Mm-hmm. Corn, you know, it's grouped together. They're protecting each other. But some plants also are the canaries in the coal mine, so to speak. Look to your squash. They're real wimpy and talkative. They got those great big leaves. When they get dry, they're going to go, I'm thirsty, and they'll start drooping a little bit. Look to them to tell you when the rest of the garden is talkative. Mm-hmm. We should also mention, depends on what how you are watering. Now we're getting into too much detail.
Yeah.
But tomatoes, I've had a few clients come in with leaf spot or leaf curl, leaf tomatoes and disease. If there's a disease any place, tomatoes will get it. They're just drawn. So when I'm watering, I try not to spray the foliage as best I can. I'll try to water in the morning, never in the evening, so that it dries off. If I do get moisture on my foliage, it dries off rather quickly because it's during the day. I try not to water 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you know, on. So I make sure that my plants are dry going into the evening. And then any foliage that's touching the ground on my, especially tomatoes, soil-borne diseases, that's where that tomato disease comes from. It gets carried over from year to year in the soil. I try to, any sucker that's coming up, any foliage that's drooping, going down, I try to use tomato stakes, basically, keep them growing skyward. And then any foliage that's going down or any sucker that's running out of that cage, I'll pinch it off. I am not afraid to pinch my tomatoes back, and I don't want foliage to touch the ground because that's where disease and vernalum wilt and all these spots come from. That's where it's coming from. It seems to reduce the amount of problems that I have with my own personal tomatoes. I mean, that's just what we've experienced with our gardens over the years. But that's probably good advice to carry over to just about anyone growing tomatoes in containers. It's a little easier because containers, you're usually putting fresh soil every year. You've got sterile soil. It's less important, but out there in the garden, in the raised bed or out there in that place where you garden often with the same soil, I would say that's really critical.
So you would agree that it's better to hydrate well in the morning and then go that 24-hour cycle. A lot of people try to do a twice-a-day watering.
Oh, no.
And,
don't
you know, they're going, oh, there's a hot in the afternoon. Well.
Yeah. No, they're not people. You don't have to hose off your kids to keep them cool. No, they're fine. And if they get a little wilty right at dusk, I mean, that's okay.
Right.
As soon as that sun goes down, they will pop right back up and be hydrated. The secret is, especially as we get into the harvest, water very early. Like our vegetable garden's watered, I think, at 6 in the morning. I'm not up at 6 in the morning. You are, but I'm not. So we'll go and pick things at 7 or 8 o'clock. I want them hydrated before I go pick. So the fruits are plumper. They're sweeter. They're fuller. They're juicier. So I try to hydrate them. I don't want to wait till the end of the day when they're hot and dry and smaller. I want freshness. Okay. And watering just before you pick, that's best. Right. So herbs, same way.
Our next question is from Jeff. He has to pull out some Leland cypress that have succumbed.
Okay.
And he wants to know what would be your recommendation for a fast-growing evergreen that would be similar to the Leland. He likes that green look, but obviously not a Leland.
Yeah, if you have problems, this is good advice for anyone. I mean, obviously, he's picked up on that right away. Don't replace a dead plant with the same kind of plant, or the same thing can happen to the new plant. So replace it with a different thing. So Leland cypress is a real green tall evergreen, gets up about 20 feet tall by 12 foot wide, good hedgerow, wind block. Replace it with an Arizona cypress. Mm-hmm. Same exact plant, only blue and a native. So if you like green, though, you just got to have green, go with Spartan junipers or skyrocket junipers, or there's a whole bunch of emerald arborvita. Those are all upright screening things that are different without the same mm-hmm. problems that the Leland's have. Leland cypress do have a life cycle. They seem to live for 10, 15, maybe 20 years at most. Mm-hmm. And then they just get old and die. That's just what they do.
Do you think that's because they're fast growing?
And I think mostly people put them on that 1 gallon emitter and they have it grow for 20 years and they've never watered anymore. And they wonder, why is it suffering? Then they get heat stress or drought stress. And all of a sudden they get any kind of stress. Then any of us, as we get stressed, we become sick and we can die. Good questions. We'll be back with more on The Mountain Gardeners.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the mountain gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Hi, Ken here with the Plants of the Week and our Lavender Shades Blooming Penta.
One of the best butterfly attracting plants. It's right up there with milkweed, only prettier.
Hummingbirds have to dance around all the butterflies of this deeply colored summer bloomer.
Plant a few in the vegetable garden to attract pollinators that help tomatoes and squash set more fruit, all for under $10.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love to garden, they love to shop.
We believe strawberries taste better picked fresh from the garden at Waters Garden Center.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
Now, Lisa and I have a very large community event we're hosting here July 20th. Is that right? 20th, 21st? I should look that up. Anyway, we're hosting an event here at the Garden Center. It's the Prescott Chamber of Commerce. Make sure we're all small businesses get together, managers, owners get together, and we try to help each other, network, to share ideas here at the Garden Center. So we'll host that. It's an evening mixer for the Chamber of Commerce. And the 20th, so I'm getting ready. This is 2 weeks out, so I'm getting ready, making sure, you know, clean, neat, tidy. If you want your house to look immaculate, invite company, throw a party. Well, that's what we're doing. And so I've been killing weeds. You know, not too bad, but there's some spurge showing up, which is a low-growing, very pretty ground cover kind of thing, but then it takes over quickly. Very easy to kill. I'll tell you how in just a minute. But I did notice that the tumbleweed, oh, my nemesis. Tumbleweeds are terrible in the mountains of Arizona. They're up about, 4, 5, 6 inches. It looks like this beautiful kind of just one spine coming up, few spikes out the sides. It hasn't turned into that fabulous green ball that rolls around and spreads seeds all over the area. It hasn't turned to that yet. I don't like it because it's so difficult to kill. You really do need to go after some of these weeds while they're young and tender and actively growing. And so be diligent as the rains come. I mean, tumbleweeds will turn into this cute little thing in the ground to the size of VW beetle. I mean, instantly, like within a few weeks, it just, you go on that vacation, come back and boom, they're huge, rolling around, spreading seed every place. Now, most of your summer weeds are annuals. They come back every year by seed, only by seed, except for ragweed. I did notice ragweed is starting to grow as well. It's up about a foot tall. It's got this beautiful lace leaf to it. Hasn't bloomed yet, but it's got this really fine powder of a pollen that just floats everywhere. And that's why it's such a terrible allergy. And I would say ragweed is worse than even junipers are in spring, but they're the summer allergy annoying kind of weed. Now's a time when they grow. And as the rains arrive, it's like they're on steroids. They just go crazy. So I was trying to kill the weeds while they're young and tender. And because I know it'll take a few days, I've got 2 weeks before a main event, July 20th. I'm going to make sure I stage it so that I've got time to kill the weeds. I was working on them this week because I know I have 2 weeks left. I knew the rains were going to come and get in the way of spraying things. Now I've got a few days where I just have, I can go without any issues. So what I was doing for the garden center, mainly in between the tree racks, mainly where the pavers are. I get weeds growing up in between the pavers, especially where we have perennial tables, annuals, vegetables, herbs. We've got these beautiful tables up and plants are growing on them. Well, underneath that gets very moist. They get lots of fertilizer, stays humid, and just seed germinate like crazy. So that's where a lot of weeds like to grow, in between my pavers. There I was mixing a cocktail. I'll share the cocktail. Before we're all done, but I was sprayed all those, and by the end of the day, I saw some wilting. That was good, but by the end of the week, I'll see death and decay, and I'll be clean and neat for the party coming up here in a couple weeks. So my backpack sprayer, I mixed three things mainly. I was spraying a weed killer called Killzall. It's a glyphosate. Okay, glyphosates, there's a place for them. I would never use Roundup or glyphosates in my vegetable gardens or any place where I might be eating anything. But in the pavers, it's great. In between the tree racks where weeds just grow like crazy, it's great. It's a summer spray. So Roundup or these glyphosates are a summer spray. The weeds like to be actively growing and the soil needs to be warm. That's why it really in the mountains only works in the summer. That's it. Totally ineffective in the summer. I mean, in the winter, excuse me. In the valley, the desert areas works great. Up here, not so well. But in the summer, this is your season for it. What I add to Killzall, which is the old contractor grade strength, it's 41% glyphosate. It's much more efficient, cost effective per gallon mixed up. So I put that, the recommended amount in my backpack sprayer. In addition, I put spreader sticker. A lot of these weeds, like horehound, like tumbleweed, they've got a very waxy, spiny type of stem that the weed killer floats right off and just slides down or off the leaf. Well, spreader sticker gets it to coat evenly and spread and penetrate down into the soil. This is important for many things like your horehound or many of these summer weeds are just tough to kill without the spreader sticker. So Killzall, spreader sticker. And here's the magic. I put vegetation killer. It's a soil killer. Now, don't use this underneath your trees. That would kill your trees. But it's really great in between pavers, around fence lines, down driveways, where you don't want things to grow now or ever. This is a mixture. I'll just kind of top off. So I add it to part of my water mixture. So it's a water replacement. But the vegetation killer will kill the weeds faster, but it kills the soil. So it keeps the seed from coming back at the same time. That trifecta, Killzall, spreader sticker, and vegetation killer in a sprayer. Oh my gosh. Weeds die and they will be dead through fall, especially where you're having issues where pavers, walls, this kind of stuff, the weeds are coming through. It really works. On my 2-acre lot here commercially, really works great. Be right back with more on The Mountain Gardener.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Wondering why my garden looks amazing? Well, that's personal. The Personal Garden Shopper service at Waters Garden Center, that is. Before talking with my personal shopper, I had no idea which plants would be best for me. But now my garden is bursting with flowers and buzzing with hummingbirds. Just go to watersgardencenter.com, click on Shop, and choose Personal Garden Shopper. A Waters Garden expert will pick the perfect plants for you, personally. The Personal Garden Shopper, only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
We believe searching Waters plants are better than a Google search at Waters Garden Center.
And back in the studio is the wonderful, the fabulous Lisa Waters Lane with inspiration that only comes from a woman's perspective. So that's the reason we get to that garden feeling. There's something about a garden that talks to you, that speaks to you, at least a good garden. A bad garden, you kind of go, what, their chainsaw broke down? They don't have enough money for plants? What happened here? Something's lacking. They couldn't invest in anything besides rock? What's going on? So there's this balance that comes with plants, getting the hardscape with the softscape. Hardscape's that rock and irrigation and fencing and decking and the patios, balanced with the softscape of the plants. And there are ratios that keep that, that have that feeling go about it. And fine gardens that people go and visit around the world, that's always their formula. That's how they do it. So Lisa comes in to share her opinions, and I might state they are opinions.
But they're always right.
Just kidding. Actually, they usually are. Anyway, what do you got for us?
Well, this week I wanted to talk about one of the most misunderstood, most hated plants out there that I don't know why they're so hated and reviled. Because
sounds terrible. What do they stink? What's wrong? Are they, well, do they bite you? Or?
Junipers.
Oh, well, well, just old fashioned.
Junipers, using junipers in your landscape.
Okay.
Now, people come in all the time and they go, I want some trees and shrubs, blah, blah, blah. And you go, well, let me show you some things and we'll start here. Here's some junipers. Oh, I don't want junipers. I hate junipers.
I'm allergic.
Blah, blah, blah. And that's the thing. They say, I'm allergic. Well, they're allergic to the old native juniper, not the garden or landscape junipers.
The tiny miniature or dwarfed varieties. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do live in juniper forests.
We do.
Juniper forests abound in this chaparral, especially that 4,000 foot to really up to 6,500 feet. Right. Junipers abound.
But I mean, and some of that problem is too, junipers have been maybe overused.
Yeah.
I think here back in the 70s and 80s, I mean, that's all they landscaped with was junipers.
We'll introduce junipers. That's what we'll do.
Yeah. So, yeah, they've been a touch overused. And because they're so long-lived, long-lasting plants, sometimes you're buying some of these older homes, and that's the only thing left in these homes is the junipers.
Good point.
So people just kind of go, eh, I'm sick of junipers, or give me something new. The other reason people don't like them is, because they are so healthy and fast-growing, they can overgrow an area if you're not picking the right plant for the right area.
Yeah.
And if it goes into a walkway because it's just too big of a variety of juniper, you start cutting back on it. Well, then you see all the dead stems underneath, and it makes it very unattractive.
Just to give junipers a chance.
Right.
You just described spruce, cotoneaster, euonymus. There's a lot of different plants that if you don't maintain them,
right.
And they're long-lived. They just need to be. And I think sometimes old junipers need to be remodeled. They need to be taken out and freshened up or cleaned up or just ripped out and start over. Mm-hmm. But for my contractors or investors, you know, rental properties or commercial properties, I start with junipers because they're hard to kill and they're consistent and your tenants can't take them out. I mean, you can drive over with a car and they still seem to live.
Right.
They're good, tough plants.
They require very little water, too. They're a great xeriscape plant and they make a good base plant to throw in. Yeah, maybe you want some bright, colorful shrubs and that thing, too, but they make a great base plant.
Okay.
And they're just, they like the West. They like the Southwest. They like our area.
True.
So it's a great plant to use that way. They are long-lived. So you're not going to have to be replacing them every 2 years and putting something else in. So they're nice that way.
I don't know if I like the sound of that as a nursery owner. I prefer not really.
They're evergreen. So you're going to have some nice winter interest, which again makes a nice base plant because at least you got something green or blue out there in the yard when everything else has gone dormant. And they really do require very little maintenance. I mean, you're not going to have to be raking out in the fall because they're not dropping needles or not dropping leaves. If you don't want to have a lot of heavy maintenance trees and plants, junipers are a good way to go. Yeah,
this is a second home.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's a good place to start because if you're traveling on that cruise or you're flying back to see the kids or you're just gone a lot, junipers will still be alive and they'll still be there for you.
That's
when
right.
other plants, if you neglect them for a month, they're going to keel over dead.
Right.
So junipers won't do that.
Mm-hmm. And there's many of them that make terrific screens.
True,
I don't know, maybe it's because the more housing has picked up. I've had more people coming in going, I got new neighbors, they're building up this house. I need a screen. Yeah. So, and they make really nice screens just for the above reasons that we mentioned.
And we use that in our remodel in the front yard. Mm-hmm. The Spartans. Junipers. We used 4 or 5 or 6, I forget. We zigzagged them in the front landscape bed just to hide the road and the neighbors across the street to create more of this intimate feeling in the new courtyard that we put together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're looking for screening junipers, Blue Point juniper is a very attractive one to put in.
What color is that?
I think it's
blue. Yeah. Maybe it's blue.
I think so.
Blue Point.
And it's kind of pointed.
Yeah. Inside nursery joke. Yeah.
It gets about, it wasn't. About 12 foot tall, 6 to 8 foot wide. It is a very attractive blue color to it. Yeah. Very, very attractive.
Upright juniper, like a bush or a tree. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Spartans that we've already mentioned make terrific screen plants. They're more of a green color. Yeah. They get not as wide, correct? They get about the same height, about 12 foot, 3 to 5 foot wide.
Yeah, I figure I'm going to top them out. I'm going to trim them at about 8 foot by about 4 or 5 foot wide. So I'm going to keep them trimmed. And then I've got butterfly bush in between to kind of give some color.
Right.
Since that's our living screen, what we did.
Mm-hmm. There's a moon glow juniper that has kind of a grayish or silvery blue.
Yeah.
Very, very attractive. It gets taller, would you say 15 to 18 foot tall?
Yeah.
7 to 8 foot wide, somewhere in there. Yep. Very attractive color out there in the yard. And then skyrockets is another real nice tall one. They stay narrow, so maybe they'd be a good replacement for
Italian cypress.
Thank you. They'd be a good replacement.
Read your mind.
Yeah.
It's almost like you've been married.
If you could do that
forever.
All the time. Medium sized ones, so hip high, maybe a little taller. My favorite is the Sea of Gold, just because it has that real pretty yellowish gold color to it as well. It's green and gold. Really stands out there in the yard, especially if you got a lot of dark areas or a lot of other green foliage going on. That really stands out nicely.
We use that one out in our backyard. We put together from the deck, looking down onto the gardens, classic 2, 2.5-story house. Walking out, looking down on the gardens, it needed some lightness, some brightness year-round. So we chose the gold junipers to give you that gold against all the dark for year-round interest. Mm-hmm. Works out really well.
Very well. Mint julep is kind of an old standby. It truly is one that's been out there a long time, but a very pretty green color. 5 foot tall-ish, somewhere in there, 5 to 6 foot wide. A nice filler. If you've got a big yard and you need something filler to kind of fill space up, it'd be a great one to put in there.
Or just a hedge. You actually plug and you create a hedge out of it. Mm-hmm. It trims really, really nicely.
Yes, it does. The Hetz juniper, if you want something more blue, is a very attractive bluish gray color to put in there. It does get taller. It could also be a good screen plant. It gets about 8 foot tall, 8 to 10 foot wide. So it might be a good screen to put in there or windbreak.
Great evergreen.
If you need that.
Super evergreen. Mm-hmm. Just tough. Always looks the same no matter what. Slow growing, consistent, hedges really nicely.
Yeah. So junipers also can make great ground covers. If you've got hills or a slope that you're trying to maintain erosion control on there, look at the dwarf Japanese, look at the buffalo juniper, the new blue tamarix juniper is also a great one. The blue chips are pretty. They stay really low to the ground. They almost look like a little
rug
out there. Mm-hmm. And there's a new one out called Youngstown, which was a real pretty green color. So if you're looking for erosion control, don't disregard those junipers because they work very well for you.
They're good at softening up all that rock. Mm-hmm. And I would say all the varieties you just mentioned, they are not big pollen producers.
No.
They aren't going to be the allergic reaction, especially the low growing, that medium to low growing. Mm-hmm. They don't have pollen gathering up in the doorsteps. And I think they're fine. So use junipers in those hard spots or hot spots in your yard. Great suggestions, Lisa. We'll be right back.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the mountain gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Wondering why the grass is always greener on the other side? Well, it's probably because your neighbor used the all-purpose fertilizer from Waters Garden Center. Monsoon is right around the corner, and it's the perfect time to feed your plants. Waters All-Purpose Fertilizer is the only organic made especially for Arizona mountain soils. Don't buy a bunch of different fertilizer for your flowers, veggies, trees, or grass. This one does it all. The plants on your side will be happier, healthier, well, greener. Safe, natural, organic. Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
We believe in roses that smell like a rose at Waters Garden Center.
We were just unloading a whole nother truckload of pottery, big, like resort size, big home, large glazed clay pots here at the nursery. They're beautiful, man. They're stacked high. They're taller than you and I, stacked to the sky. Big, I mean, just beautiful, majestic. You could grow trees, shrubs, vines, grapes, I mean, that, whatever you wanted, roses or flowers in these containers. I'm not talking about little tiny flower pots. I'm talking about substantial containers. Now, Lisa and I, we have over 50 containers. I don't know what the current number is, but it's a lot. We like to line and etch and drive through and entertain around containers, container gardens. They're so easy. I've had a couple back surgeries where I just can't bend over and take care of and nurture things in the ground as I used to. I have a lot of things in the ground, but I really like to garden when things are up waist high. The soil is easier to dig. It's just, they're pretty. They're pieces of art, even with nothing in them, a pretty pot. Here's some secrets I've found over the years with containers. Now, our 50 pots, we've been collecting them for, well, a lifetime, several houses. So we just add to our mix every year, a pretty pot, we'll add some. And so over the years, we'll thin some out and go, it's boring, we've done that. Or our boy drove into one and cracked it. And so going, well, we're tired of that one anyway. Time for new color. And so we've a few things we've learned about container gardens. One, the material. Don't plant in just any kind of material in the mountains of Arizona when it's dry and hot. Now, at this elevation, the sun is intense. And so certain types of material like plastics, metals, things that don't breathe, that they can't, they just don't work as well. You tend to overwater them, and the sun tends to heat up or roast the roots. So I don't garden in plastics. First of all, in a couple of years, they get brittle, dry, and you'll pick them up when they break in two. Metals, yeah, there's some pretty metal pots. I love cast iron. That's very nice. That doesn't seem to be the same issue, but tin, some of these thinner metals, they heat up. They lose their style very quickly. They seem to be fad-oriented, and then they just come and go. I don't care for them as much. Terracotta works very well. You can get a lot of pot for the money, so very inexpensive red clay pots. These are the pots that your grandparents grew in. The negative with the mountains of Arizona at this elevation, with this freeze and thaw pattern, water gets in the clay in the fall and in the spring, and then it expands, and so this clay just evaporates. It cracks, it flakes, it erodes very quickly. So if you're going to grow in terracotta, dump them out in the winter and store them dry in the shed, in the garage. They're not for year-round gardening. For year-round gardening, I do like wood. So old barrels, it kind of dates your house a little bit. So screams 1980s, early 1990s, or it looks good in a cabin, but not a new adobe or brand new house. Be careful with the styles with some of these woods. The negative with wood, it tends to dry out in the bottom, rot out, and then you just lift it up and the bottom drops out within 5 or 6 years. That and the datedness of it. Some of them are very nice, so I can't say that about everything. But some woods, they keep the soil cool. They breathe, so they're easy to garden in. My preferred material is terracotta or heavy clays from Asia. So Indian, Vietnamese, Chinese, Malaysian. These are good quality, high-grade clay material that are high-fired, so they're dense. So they keep the roots cool. They don't crack in the winter freeze and thaw, and plants just thrive in this type of container. As long as it's got a hole drilled in the bottom, as long as water can drain out, they do fabulous. And they're pretty. Typically, they're high glaze. Your reds, oxblood red, cobalt blue, aquas, chocolates, mochas. They're beautiful pots, pieces of art. So they look good with plants in them or without. And they garden well at the higher elevations of the mountains of Arizona. If you get a good quality clay, they won't crack. They'll keep growing. You can get really large sizes. Commercially, they're big enough and heavy enough where they're not going to walk off. People aren't going to pick them up and walk away and keep them right out in a commercial setting where people are going by. You don't have to worry about people stealing them, basically. Your rental property, you have great big ones. They're not going to, the tenants aren't going to walk off with them. So they've got some substance to them. So when you're gardening, just fill them up with potting soil, whatever it is. Don't get, the bigger the pot, the more soil, which is good, which means the more fudge factor, the more soil you have to hold moisture, hold food, to hold roots, so plants are healthier. You can literally grow, I've got peaches about to be picked, peach tree, full-on peach tree growing in a big pot. You can do that if the pot's large enough. That's where we can help you size them, that kind of stuff. But if you're growing in pots, containers, it's a good time to do it. You can do it right now and have success. We can give you the insider tip, kind of touch and feel, and show you sizes and plants, what you can do with containers in your backyard. And really what it comes down to, fill the soil up with the pot. Make sure it's got a drainage hole in the bottom. Fill it up within 2 inches of the top. So it might take a bag or two or three. I don't know if really big container. You plant directly in potting soil. That's the magic with a good quality potting soil. Ours is a grower's mix. That's the, our plants are grown in Waters potting soil. So we are growers. We've designed this for this area. We've been tweaking that recipe. Literally, there's a recipe for soils that you mix every time, the same every time. A bad soil won't have a recipe. It'll be dark stuff they shove by shovel into a bag, and they label it with cold potting soil, and it may or may not have consistency. You need to know what the results you're going to get when you put your plant in a good quality potting soil. So right now I'm picking tomatoes like crazy because I've got a great big pot. I've got two tomatoes on either side of this oval shaped mocha colored container. Two tomato cages going up and two different tomatoes going through, and I've got them tied together. So they help each other stay upright. It's beautiful. It's a piece of art. In fact, I have a piece of art in between the two tomatoes, little head, kind of like a, I don't know, cherub's head on a stick kind of thing. It's a piece of art, not just a tomato plant on the back patio where people gather and entertain and go, "Ooh, Ken, look at what you did. You're such a gardener. Look at you. That just looks good." And it creates conversation. That's what beautiful gardens should do. It draws people into that space and makes them feel comfortable, lowers their guard, surrounds them with living, breathing things. Butterflies are going by, hummingbirds, tomatoes are talking about, and it creates conversation. Sometimes you don't even know the garden is doing that to you or for you or with you, but it's a living, breathing thing that's there in that space that just opens you up. That's why when you get into a yard that has not quite enough plants, it's mostly rock, you kind of go, I don't know what it is about this, but it needs something. They may have a container there, a big pot, but with one plant or no, I've seen rock lawns with no plants. They just have a big blue oxblood or cobalt blue pot there, and then that's it. You go, that doesn't quite feel right. What is going on here? And that's what it is. There's 60% as you're doing landscape design, 60% of the livable surface should be plants. Now, a huge tree could be one tree can be a huge space. That whole canopy counts as green foliage or covered area that people can walk into and enjoy that space. Or it might be a hedgerow. Or raised flower bed or something. If you go below that, it feels like it's just dry and dusty. It's like open, like hot, windy, dry. It has a different feeling. Those are ways to describe a landscape that doesn't have enough plants. If you get too much, it's like this a strange jungle, like I need a machete to walk through it kind of thing. It's the balance goes too far. But if you can design for 60% of the landscaped surface to be covered in green of some sort, pick your green, that's the unique balance. There's a formula for that. And that's fine botanical gardens. They get it right on, 60%, and go for it. And that's why you feel so good in those spaces. be right back.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Hi, Ken here with the Plants of the Week and our Lavender Shades Blooming Penta.
One of the best butterfly attracting plants. It's right up there with milkweed, only prettier.
Hummingbirds have to dance around all the butterflies of this deeply colored summer bloomer.
Plant a few in the vegetable garden to attract pollinators that help tomatoes and squash set more fruit, all for under $10.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love to garden, they love to shop.
Wondering why my garden looks amazing? Well, that's personal. The personal garden shopper service at Waters Garden Center, that is. Before talking with my personal shopper, I had no idea which plants would be best for me. But now my garden is bursting with flowers and buzzing with hummingbirds. Just go to watersgardencenter.com, click on Shop, and choose Personal Garden Shopper. A Waters Garden expert will pick the perfect plants for you, personally. The Personal Garden Shopper, only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
A huge, huge shout out or support for our Prescott Chamber of Commerce. Last week, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce hosted a How to Brand Yourself, and I was the guest speaker. They're going, Ken, how do you do what you do? What are some of the insider tips, the secrets? And I shared with about 70 people in this class. I was totally overwhelmed. I wasn't ready. I was thinking 15, 10 people would show up. People aren't really interested and how to brand their small business or their small consulting firm or their small book or their small. This is for mom and pop, professional consultants, professional salespeople. How do you get the word out for your small when you don't have an ad budget that's very big? How do you leverage that and talk to your people, your customers? How do you get to your core customers? And your core customers, if they love you, they want to hear from you. They look forward to it. And really the lesson I taught was if you were gone, if all of a sudden you were here and then alien attack comes and Waters Garden Center is no longer here, would they miss you? Would your community miss you? Would your family miss you? And if the answer is yes, that means you're doing something important that makes a difference in the community. I was trying to get that idea around. I truly think, now not for everyone, I'm not trying to cater to all people here at Waters Garden Center. I'm after a certain segment. I've got a core group of people that just love us. They brag about us. They bring their friends to their garden center. And so I shared some of those ideas. And if you're a small business owner, you can do the same. It is possible. You can go up against the Home Depots, the Lowe's, and the Walmarts, the Amazons, and you can't have their space. They're doing it. They're very good with unlimited resources. They're sucking communities dry. You don't want to get in their way or they will crush you. But there's a segment of the pie. There's a group of people that don't want that. People like us, we shop at places or garden centers like this. We like hanging out with people like this. Cool people wear really great gloves with beautiful decorative designs and cool garden hats. And we hang out at places like this. So I shared those ideas with them and great response. Thank you folks for listening to what I had to say. I don't know. I just do what I do. I shared the apps, the tools. It's really a three-person team. I only have about 20 employees. We're not that big. We're a small mom and pop, but we put on a big show because we leverage our knowledge and our personality, and people want to hear from us, and they talk about us when they're not here, and they're sharing with their friends going, oh, you should go over to Waters. They've got some great stuff. Anyway, that's thank you there. Secondly, we are going to start our garden classes this Saturday, this weekend. So this weekend, we're starting with container gardens of all things. Imagine that. We've been talking container gardens. But this Saturday, we're going to, from this point forward, every Saturday at 9:30, we're going to have a garden class. So this week, it's containers and how to put them together, how to put summer-loving things together that just pop. Next week, July 15th, it's attracting bees, butterflies, and birds. I'm kind of a master at that. I love your garden should be more than just plants. It should be alive with nature. And it should be a delight to go out and watch the monarchs and the swallowtails going, and a hummingbird floating by. July 22nd, that's the next Saturday, perennial flowers that will impress. There's a whole summer series of flowers you can put out that just bloom from now through fall. And the list goes on. I won't list them all. It's all summer long. There's 20 of them out there, or I don't know how many. But take a look at watersgardencenter.com. The very front page, there's a big classes button there. Just click that. It's all right there. Facebook, it's under events. So facebook.com/Waters Garden Center. Imagine that. Under events, and you've got the whole list right there. So take a look. They're free. They're meant to be interactive. We just want our customers, the people that love us, Waters Garden Center, to be better, to be able to go out and have success and be able to brag about their gardens to their friends, which causes the buzz to go out with more of our customers. And it works. You help your customers get better, and they want to support you back by sharing with their friends. So that's how small business works. Anyway, throughout the week, Lisa and I camp out here at Waters Garden Center. Please come in, say you listen to the show, say hi.
I was raised in a nice house with my family. Now I'm out on my own and have my own apartment. I love my cute little place, but there's something I do miss. I miss my mom's garden in the backyard. It was so special because over the years I was growing up, I watched her give those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch and so much color. I miss it so. Well, guess what? I just visited my local garden center and they gave me some great ideas. And now, because of them, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested, teeming with flowers, bright Arizona flowers. Looking at those flowers gives me such a nice feeling, and it's almost like being with Mom in the backyard all over again.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it too.
We believe local businesses are better than impersonal box stores at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to the area. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott at 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Gardener.